I feel like they don't dislike Bam. I think they're just like, Bam is for the streets. And I'm just part of his journey on the streets. And welcome to another episode of Grown Ass Fandom. It's Shanae here. And today's topic, I'm very, very excited about. It's a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, something I'm very passionate about. Today we're talking about fuckboys. And you're like, how can that be a topic for this podcast? Well, let me tell you why. Fuckboys have just like been on my mind lately. So we have Drake's album that came out, Kanye's album that came out. There's a show that I recently found out about, F-Boy Island. But really, this whole podcast was inspired by this brutal, I cannot tell you how brutal this fanfic I read about JK. It was literally called a JK fuckboy fanfic, because that is a genre of fanfiction. It's not just a genre of fanfiction, it's actually a genre of literature overall within the romantic comedy space and the romance space. I feel like fuckboy has really filled in the gap for the bad boy. And I guess we can talk about like what the difference is between a fuckboy and a bad boy, and like how wide of a range this category takes up. And especially when we're talking also about, we're going to discuss the Lucas story, Lucas from Wavy. I said we were going to mention it last week. We're going to talk about it this week, and how one of the things that a lot of his followers are saying is that being a fuckboy isn't a crime. So we're going to talk about all that. But back to this sort of like fanfic that I read, I will put the description of it. I will, you know, give you the link in the description, but it is one of the most brutal, specific depictions of a relationship with somebody who would be considered a fuckboy that I've ever seen. It was just like very triggering and felt really real, and like it's really well written. In fact, one of the best written fanfics I've actually read. And it just is very specific. When I go on these fanfics, I'm like expecting, like, again, because like the idea of a fuckboy, the range is so large. And I didn't realize how big of a range it was until I started researching for this episode. But like, really, when we're talking about fuckboys, we're talking about like a really big sort of like a lot of different behaviors. And it gets really, really messy. But this one is like a very specific, you're into somebody who you have a great deal of intimacy with, but it's one-sided. You have to read it. When you read it, please reach out to me so I can scream out. Like, literally, it's all I talk about. It's all I think about, because it just was so intense. It was a suggestion by Bon Voyage Nuna. If you don't know her, make sure you follow her fanfics as well. She has this amazing fanfic called Matchmaker, and there's another one called Counter Melody that is just very, very good. She's very, very good. And like fanfic, like this is not something that I read a ton, because I'm trying to like read the books. But GAF really loves it. So that was the one that I tortured my audience with this past weekend. But yeah, it just really got me thinking about fuckboys. And this particular fanfic was just so intense that like I've been looking at JK since. And I read it on like Friday, and I still look at him like, you ain't shit. And he didn't even do anything. But it is interesting that this is JK and this image of JK does exist. Like when I asked my audience to give me a fuckboy, like fuckboys in pop culture, fuckboys in K-pop, because I was interested. His name did come up. And there is, like, he is, like, really, when we talk about fuckboys, they're, like, people who act like fuckboys, which is different from people who present as fuckboys. And I think that a lot of people would argue that you can present as a fuckboy, but, like, have a secret heart of gold, da, 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 da. But I feel like that's, like, all mixed up in this propaganda around fuckboys, which we'll talk about. The thing about JK is that, like, there's a couple of things amongst my friends when we talk about sort of, like, fuckboys and, like, who's a fuckboy. And, like, when you're dating, you're always trying to find out ways that you can, like, prevent damage, like, stop yourself from getting hurt or understand what you're getting into. And a lot of the sort of process of doing that is you can do that just by, like, looking at somebody. And so JK has so many of the red flags in his appearance right now. And obviously I don't know JK. This is just from the trenches, just from, like, being somebody who's been in the dating world for, like, I don't even want to talk about how long, and how, like, what trouble looks like, and even down to some of the specific tattoos that he has, like the clock is such a fuckboy standard. So we can ignore one or two of them. So, like, we can ignore the clock, but also the eye, also the Illuminati symbol. Like, there's like a bunch of different tattoos that are indicative of that image, right? Not necessarily, that is not to speak to his personality or anything like that, but the image. And then you add that on to the eyebrow ring, the tongue ring. Like, it's there. And honestly, during the live, he was also exhibiting, not saying that he is, was exhibiting some of the characteristics that we give to fuckboys, which we'll talk about, like, what those characteristics are, like the smoothness, the kind of, like, the cocky feeling himself type of energy are all things that a lot of times we give to fuckboys as characteristics. And so does that mean that JK is a fuckboy? I don't know. I don't know, JK. I will be. Okay, so if you become a patron, something that I'm doing very special for this week's OnlyFans episode is that it's a video and I'm doing a tier ranking of all the people that everybody gave me as fuckboys. So, like I said, I asked who are the fuckboys of pop culture, and I have a category system that we're going to talk about in a second. And I'm going to be putting everybody within that category system. So if you want to see where I feel like JK falls within this system, you should go listen to the OnlyFans. It'll be up on Friday. Okay, so back to, like, talking about fuckboys. Before we dive into, I'm going to tell you what my categories are and stuff like that. I think it's, like, a really good time to actually talk about, like, what a fuckboy is, explore the history of the word as it pertains to pop culture, so that we can dig into it, what it means for specifically, I think, pop culture as a whole, but the K-pop community's relationship with fuckboy culture is really, really interesting because of the boyfriend experience that's built into K-pop really runs counterintuitive to the fuckboy culture. It's like you have fuckboys and then you have the boyfriend experience, but still there are people within K-pop that people consider to be fuckboys, and why? That's what's interesting. Okay, so let's take a step back and look into the history of the fuckboy. So the term fuckboy showed up around 2004, 2003, but the term really gained steam in 2015 as a way to fill in the gap for male insults, because men are often called man whores, because it was really a term that was used to describe a man who was sort of, like, for the streets. And that kind of reminds me of this fact, or this idea, the fact that, like, fuckboy, the term fuckboy, according to Urban Dictionary, it, like, peaked in 2015. So 2015 is when it was, like, heard the most. And then after 2015, it's gone down a lot because I feel like our society has evolved a little bit. I know there's a lot more terms that have filled in, just like our politics around partnership and stuff like that have evolved past using fuckboys as much as it was then. Because in 2015, the fuckboy term was like a revelation because, again, the words like man slut, man whore were really rooted in misogyny and didn't really have the same bite. But fuckboy really does put the energy and the responsibility on men who create these behaviors. And so it's like a term that's really meant to describe a cluster of behaviors. And there's so many like funny descriptions of this in Urban Dictionary. So let's read some of these. So one is like a guy who will tell a girl anything to get them to hook up with them, a complete jerk who flirts with multiple girls all the time and makes them all believe that they're individually special. They tell a girl to like them and act like, they tell a girl that they like them and act they're like they're in love so they can get something out of it. Like pictures, hooking up, sex, someone who should not be trusted and is the reason for a lot of people's trust issues. Don't fuck with a fuckboy. Here's another one. You'll find these strange creatures usually clogging up your local Nike store, listening to either Pitbull or Eminem on high volume, or trying to act cool by inviting your sister to parties. Fuckboys are above and beyond common douchebag. They're usually the ages from 12 to 25 and can be found wearing any of all things Nike. Again, this is like really outdated. Like this is from 2015. And again, this is like another interesting sort of piece of the fuckboy pie, which is that there is like the JK presentation of it. And then there's sort of like, I don't know if you guys know who Jake Paul is, like the YouTuber sort of like, Justin Bieber presentation of him, where Justin Bieber kind of is a nice mix between the JK presentation and then like a douchey, rich, kind of hype beasty type of guys. So that's like another presentation of. And by the way, I'm saying these things, but I truly believe that fuckboy is gender neutral. I don't date women, but I know people who have dated women and people who are non-binary who have had similar experiences that kind of equate to the experience of it, not the branding. Because that's like what's so crazy about this whole fuckboy thing is that there is just like so much around it. Because again, there's like the presentation, like this description here, which is talking about a guy that looks a certain way. Again, we were talking about earlier about how JK looks like these guys. And then there's like the actual experience of them. Okay, a fuckboy is somebody who says I'm bad at relationships as if it's nearly an absolute truth. A fuckboy is also someone who's just so emotional that he cannot deal with it. This is like the, I would say, Drake fuckboy brand. Somebody who is like just like hyper emotional and uses like they're emotional available enough to unload on people, but not emotionally vulnerable enough to be responsible for other people's feelings outside of themselves. That's another version of it. Okay, this part was funny. It says, I just can't. There's too much for me. He, the fuckboy, is fundamentally confused and is unsure what he wants. However, he will seemingly sincerely play like he's more involved or enamored than he actually is, in interest of getting romantic attention and scratching romantic sex itch. He is superficially intimate, as if acting from a script he knows all too well. Fuckboy operates from a superficial level of consciousness, and although he does seem like he is connected, time will show you that he never was. He does not care about this detail of your day, your friends, your family, the beautiful complexity of your essence. Fuckboy is unable to truly respect and be present with any woman he is with. He has a hard time respecting women as a whole human being, and furthermore lacks self-awareness about this. Yeah, that's brutal. And I think that like, so for me, like, what do I think the best, like, what is my personal definition of a fuckboy? Gender neutral. The description I saw that I found really explained it the best, it was a description that the author used in the fic when they were describing it in the description. And they say, it says, JK wants love, but he doesn't love in return. And that's it. Like, he wants love, but doesn't want to give love in return. I think that's like the biggest description of like the emotional fuckboy, right? Like the kind of, what is the experience of dealing with somebody like that, and somebody who craves intimacy and is very, very needy emotionally and understands how to get his needs met, but doesn't understand how to reciprocate or doesn't care to reciprocate. And then, okay, and this is a good time to sort of like talk about some of the darker aspects of the word and why we won't be calling it fuckboy from this point on. So F-boy, just like many other terms, fuckboy has gone through a bit of a revolution. Like it became like, obviously now it's a term for empowerment for women to really give to slur men who act with these sort of, like I said, cluster of behaviors. But the darker description of it is that in the past, it was used as a term to talk about like men and like some really dark stuff in prison. If you want to look that up, you can. And just for the sake of that, like, I don't really feel like understanding that that is like a part of the origins of the word. It doesn't like sit super well for me to like call them fuckboys. So I'm going to call it something else. So, and again, I'm not going to bring that to the podcast because I feel like it's dark, but I will put resources in the comments that talk about like the origins of fuckboy. And I guess there's like another conversation to be had about like how we can use words if we're allowed to use them when they come from certain origins and stuff like that. Like for me, it's just like now that I see it, I can't unsee it. So I'm going to be calling them ASPs, which is ain't shit people, because like I said, gender neutral. So fuckboys are called ASPs, or I'm also calling them intimacy eaters or life eaters. Those are my terms. Feel free to use them in your life. So ASPs or ASMs is ain't shit man. ASP, if you want to stay gender neutral, ain't shit people is how we will describe fuckboys for now on. Okay, so moving on and talk about like intimacy eaters or ASPs is that while they are like very much villainized in society, they're also very much so romanticized. This fanfic in particular that I'm talking about is very, very famous. It's been read a bunch of times within the community. It's very, very popular. This trope in itself is very popular. When I was going through the romance section of Amazon, there were so many young adult books that were about fuckboys as a centerpiece. So variations of stories like your best friend is a player and an ASP, but he's an ASP with everybody except for you until, or like the ASM and your, we're going to make ASP and ASM happen because you know what? People thought that I couldn't make spaghetti happen either, but you guys have all accepted it. So except intimacy eater, ASP. Okay. So the intimacy eater in your class, you get in a project with him and you're like, oh, he's not going to do anything. But then you guys fall for each other. And then, or there's of course the one about the ASM who has a bet and targets you because he wants to fuck you or spaghetti you. And then he turns out to have feelings. And in itself, it's really interesting that this is like the case because one of my like fundamental beliefs about ASMs as a whole is that they suffer from the same thing everybody suffers from, which is this idea that like finding somebody to connect with is really, really hard. Finding something that you really like is actually very, very difficult. So what a lot of us are doing is we're just settling and we're sort of like biding our time and we're just getting our needs met in different ways until we find somebody who we want to settle down with. Now, of course, this is like a heteronormative way to think about it, but I think that it still applies for people who are in polyamorous relationships or like less traditional relationships, is that you want to find somebody or a group of people who you really, really connect with. But if you can't find that, you're still a human being who needs to have your needs met. And so for the ASM or the ASP, they believe that their needs being met is the most important thing. It's more important than, say, somebody else's feelings or emotions and everything like that. And so that's how they act. So I guess there is something, like if you wanted to break it down this way, there is something inherently romantic about the ASP, because you do like to hope that you could be the person who turns an ASP into someone else. Like there's this idea that like that the ASP, that it's like a timing issue, or that it's like they grew into it, or like stuff like that. But it just never works like that. A lot of times what ASPs are really into is that they like the power. Like the definition said earlier, a lot of ASPs understand how to use their emotions and their selectively use their intimacy to connect with people. Drake has made a whole career off of being somebody who is literally a sensitive misogynist, somebody who seems to really deeply hate women. So that's why he's like the ultimate fuckboy, right? Drake hates women. Like, he clearly does not like women, but he has made all of his music about being a simp, or like being somebody who is, I don't even like that term simp. I can't believe I just used that. Gross. I've been on TikTok too long. He's created all this content around being somebody who's like very emotionally available and like loves love and does all this stuff. But like, as far as like all the stories we've heard about him and his relationships and stuff like that, he does not act that way. So he's like, again, a really good example of the ASM dynamic within their relationship to love, in which what they're really seeking is this feeling, this idealized feeling. A lot of times it's about somebody who rejected them in the past or whatever. But so they idolize the past because they're constantly chasing a feeling that they can't get. They're constantly getting their needs met. So that's like a picture of what ASPs are within the context of pop culture and how we think about them and how we like hate them, but like want to rehab them and want to think that we can be the one that can save them. And then there's the kind of economy around men like this, especially in the influencer culture. There is like men who present themselves as these images or these brands of different variety of what would be considered a ASM or an ASP in order to attract women or whoever who's attracted to them in a way that feels safe. So what you're following them for is like the safety of engaging with and lusting over a ASM and getting like the thrill of it, the intensity of it, without it being like a dangerous situation or feeling like you're going to get hurt. So that is like in itself a brand. And again, like when we talk about what is an ASM and the different brands of it, I think every community has their own version of it. I know in the Black community, it's like guy with a beard and tattoos or like stuff like that. Like there's like different types of this type of person. If you are somebody who's influencer and you present yourself as a safer version of that, I know there's a lot of like, this goes. So I'm going to be doing an episode next week about domesticity as erotica, we're talking about In the Soup, and kind of like they'll be the brand of the hot chef or the hot doctor, or the hot whatever. And so there is also like the hot, accessible, sensitive, but it's not going to hurt you ASP. And so that's like another way that exists in like the economy and how it's branded. The other thing about the ASM, and this connects to like the kind of like the more awful basis for the word, is that a lot of times at first the ASM, and or we'll just say fuckboy because we are using this term to make this reference point, is that having a man who's like emotionally connected to their emotions. So it's like really interesting how the evolution of this idea came to pass, because there's a version of it that is about somebody who is quote unquote a pussy, or somebody who is over emotional, somebody who is whatever. And again, you can look up the prison stuff to see what the connection is. And so the fact that that has molded into somebody who does that, but it's for the sake of getting things from other people, like it's fascinating that that's like where it went. And now this language around is separate. Like I said, simp is probably the word that people use for someone who's like sensitive and like, we do a whole thing on simp. But yeah, like I think that there is the dichotomy around how F-boys, and again, I'm using that term, or ain't shit men, it comes from this place of being able to access your emotions as a way to connect with women, as opposed to, and so the manipulation is still there, as opposed to somebody who's traditionally a masculine, who is like the way that branding is that they are somebody who just takes what they want. Like you don't have to negotiate, you just take it, versus the negotiation and the manipulation that exists within how the traditional ASM or the fuckboy operates. And I guess we'll start with like this Lucas story, because again, one of the biggest arguments that people who are pro Lucas are making is that his behavior is not necessarily cancelable. Like, he's an asshole, right? Like, some of these allegations, okay, so like the basis of the allegations, and let's just say that this is all alleged, even though that Lucas apologized for his actions, it's really unclear what he was apologizing for. So I think there's a lot of confusion about like how to treat the situation and what we should do. But ultimately what he was doing, according to these reports, is that he would find fans, he would date them, and he would have them buy stuff for him, and he would like manipulate them. And there is one about him, let's see, like buying a cat and getting rid of it to impress people. And just like I said, like typical, the only thing that's probably outside of the realm of like typical F boy behavior, although like again, like a lot of people would argue that this is something that they've had done to them, is like the coercion around having sex without a condom. And one of the like more complicated aspects of the way that our culture is engaging with the topics of dating and sexual politics and relational politics is realizing how much of the things that we normalized within the culture of our dating is not normal or shouldn't be normal. And we're like in this evolutionary stage of figuring out like what is right, what is not right. Like, can you cancel people for just being an asshole? Can you not? And I think what's interesting about this being Lucas is that he is a musical artist. So he is like somebody like a Drake or like a Quavo or like any of these, like his peers in the Western world. Now, in the Western world, we would see these stories and be like, yeah, he's a musician. And that's what makes K-pop really interesting, is that like in the Western world, musicians come with a set of expectations about their behavior, and none of them's good. Like, nobody thinks that Post Malone is like a stand-up guy to the people that he dates. Like, nobody probably has that thought. And if they do, they're like in the minority. But because they are in a boyfriend industry, and K-pop is a boyfriend industry, they're expected to keep these aspects of their personality pretty secret. The things that I find really fascinating about reading the reports around Lucas and what all happened with him is how he clearly is somebody who is like very, again, emotionally needy. I think everybody like complained, again, this is all alleged, how he used to unload and he felt very lonely and had a lot of insecurities and stuff like that. And again, that's like the thing with ASMs, is that they unload, and then that he would sort of like gaslight them. And like when he was done getting his unloading, he would move on to somebody else. Is that something that you can, that he should lose his career over? It depends. That happened last year. Chanyeol, this was like, I think right when I was starting getting into K-pop, there were rumors about how he used to cheat on his girlfriend with literally everybody, with like stewardesses, dancers, anybody he would like fuck around with. And I remember hearing this story and being like, okay. Like, but it was like a big scandal and people were asking to have him removed to the group. And it's like this again, this weird double-edged sword around being an idol and what your expectations are. And we can say that those are wrong, but part of the reasons why people are able to maintain their control, and I say that, their control over their audience, is the illusion of the boyfriend experience. And that's why everybody clings to it so much. That's why people get in so much trouble. That's why Bobby, the other week, when it turns out he had a wife and a kid, was literally so scared and was apologizing for these details. And I guess we can like all be like, oh, like nobody gives a shit, they should just be able to announce it. But there is a great deal of investment and money that is put into creating this boyfriend experience for the audience. And so they are going to respond to that in a certain way. This story coming out about Lucas, a kind of like, almost like a breach of contract, almost, where it really breaks the illusion. And he breaks the illusion in many different ways, because it's not just, again, alleged. It's not the stuff that he did. It's like him talking about the other members. It just makes, because there's so much effort to creating this world in which they're good friends. But I don't think, as far as like SM is concerned, and especially NCT and Wavy, there's never really, the thing that I hear most about those groups is that they don't really like each other. So I think that like there's not really much, they're not hiding it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that if a similar story came out about BTS, everybody would be really, really shocked and it would be like, holy shit. But for their groups, I don't think it's like that as much. I think that, and so yeah, I guess you could argue that it's a breach of contract, and then it goes to the criminality of some of these things. Like, and I see this in other communities that I'm a part of, as like somebody who's a part of the nerdy community, as somebody who's a part of the audio drama community, you have these things come out where people expose people for what is ASP behavior, right? Like the unloading, the gaslighting and all that stuff. And a lot of times we just are looking at it and we're like, okay, so what should we do? Like, they're shitty. So, and it's just like a side effect of having a culture that is so, it's a part of like the power dynamics that we're really trying to reconfigure our relationships with each other. And I mentioned this when I was talking about the bias advice and how we, what are the words that I want to use for this? It's like, if you want to be partnered, you're having to reset your expectations about what you expect of other people. And I think men have a lot of ways in which they've existed in the world that they don't even know are wrong. That's no excuse, but it does create this thing of like, who knows? So yeah, so what should happen to Lucas? I just don't think that like he can come back. Like, I think again, like whether or not he deserves to come back, but again, like the fantasy aspect of it is really, really important. It's what people protect. So like they protect it a lot. It's why I'll say armies. So like this is unrelated to this fuckboy issue, but just yesterday before I'm recording this, Namjoon said this really shitty thing about like an original poster asked what he should eat for dinner, and he was basically telling her not to eat dinner, and the response was like from ARMY was like, oh, intermittent fasting, it's like healthy and da, 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 da. I just remember, and it's not one of those things where I like dislike Namjoon. Now, of course I don't. I still think he's great, but like, can I get it up for him right now? No. Like, I don't, like, I look at him and I don't feel like super attracted to him or drawn to him at this moment, because I know that he might be somebody who has politics that are really, really against mine. And so it gets harder and harder to kind of like get behind that. And of course, like, I'll get over it. Like, if he like does like a really good photo or something, I'll be like, what was I saying? But I think that with Lucas, if you know that he is somebody who's talking about love and appreciation, da, 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 but he literally goes on these sites and finds fans to buy him shit, it kind of busts up the fantasy, no? Or the fact that he's like hanging around his group, but he clearly doesn't like them, but he's like with them. That's awkward. So I just don't know how he could come back. Maybe he'll create like a good solo career. I looked Lucas up and he's extremely popular, like a top 10 idol, I would say. He's very, very popular, especially since he's also in China. But yeah, it's like and one of the things that's interesting about sort of like fuckboy culture within K-pop is that something that often happens is that like people who are very like anti-K-pop end up with like very traditional fuckboy presentations, like for example a Jay Park. And also, Higher Music as a whole is just like a fuckboy agency. I'm so glad YG and JB are there. Not, and it's so funny because even JB, I was looking at him today and I was like, is a transformation happening? So like a lot of times the ways in which people act out or free themselves from the K-pop system is to present as fuckboys. And again, going back to JK, is that what he's doing? Is this his quiet rebellion against being an idol? I would say probably, yeah. I would say so. But yeah, like Western artists have a long legacy of being fuckboys. Like I said, Kanye is like definitely one, like his romantic history with Kim, with Amber, with all these people, Justin Bieber. Like, if you look into their pasts, and this is just shit that we know, shit that's like on the record, it's all ASM. And they still have really thriving careers. They're still able to, they still have thriving careers. They're still able to do everything they want. In fact, they leverage their some of their ASM behavior to make music in all sorts of weird ways. So it's a really weird, it's not weird, it's just interesting that how much differently the K-pop industry is built versus the other industry. So again, with Chanyeol, like, if he, it's true that he fucks a lot of girls and he whatever, is that okay? Is there a reality in which idols can exist where they date and do all these things? Because I think a lot of the things that we like have to remember is that a lot of these idols are probably not good people, because people who have been traumatized from a young age in an industry that values them for their appearance and what they can buy for people tend to not turn out to be good people. And so a lot, so like this, this incident is not isolated, I don't feel like. I'm sure there's a lot of idols who are very, very nervous. And there could be like literally like members of BTS, like all the others. I'm sure there's lots of idols who are like, oh shit, and all reached out to people that they have dated just to check in and make sure everything was good. And apparently that's what Lucas did. He like called that girl 6 or 7 times after everything came out. So I'd be interested to see what comes out. Do we think that anything like this would come out about BTS and what would happen? I just don't. I just think the army defense system would really work hard to protect them from something like this. And we would hope that the version of this, the ASM, is on the lighter end of things, where kind of like, and again, like separating like what is abusive behavior from what is ASM behavior becomes really hard because there's like a lot of overlap. Okay, and so this brings me to my category system for ASMs or intimacy eaters. And so, like, again, take this all with a grain of salt. This is just Shanae versus fun. And again, it doesn't really kind of like speak to the complexities of talking about toxic behavior of men. It's just like a kind of like a big topic. But okay, there is the one who leaves after you hook up and then ghost you. I feel like this is like the lowest on the list. Like, this is for somebody that you don't really know. So you don't really know them and you hook up with them and they leave after and they go shoot. For me, I feel like that's not really going to like do much, too much damage to you. You're just sort of like, man, I maybe shouldn't have, but you hope that it was fun. And then there's the one who cuddles, tells his life story, and then ghosts you. And that's a little worse, but still it's like, okay, men do that, or you know, people do that, whatever. And then there's like the weekender, and there's the one who like you spend like a weekend with, or it's a week with, it's like a certain amount of time with, and you're sort of like in love, spend all of your time together. It's like this really intense, like romantic situation, and then they ghost you or they don't talk to you. So that's also a level up, and that can be really hard because you're like, what if? And this type of ASP just like creates a lot of doubt in you, because you are like, you always have this experience of like, but it was so good, like it was like the most magical experience, because it was like a very isolated experience and it was like very, very intense, and so it creates a lot of like strife around how you feel. Okay, and so the next one is the one who is your boyfriend but is not. So there's like intermittent. This is somebody who just wants to be in your life when they want to be, and then not when they don't want to be. Like, this is sort of like, again, like the ASM, the situationship. And that's something we didn't talk about, like, again, like how like terms like situationships and stuff like that are probably better descriptors for a lot of this behavior. Okay, so yeah, so there's like the situationship. And then there's like the one who is like a sneaky link. And so you don't even like have the boyfriend stuff. or the girlfriend stuff or the partner stuff, you just kind of like hook up whenever type of thing. And so those are my categories. What do you think? What, like, okay, so let me tell you some of these names that I got on Instagram, and you could tell me what categories you think these are. Ba, ba, ba. Okay. Okay, so we got JB and Bam Bam from GOT7. Lord, JB, okay, I'm going to do some of these. Which version of this do you think JB is? Okay, and okay, by the way, let's back up. Okay, let's back up. So me putting these people in categories is with the assumption that I don't know them at all. These are just Shanae-verse things. If you've listened to my podcast, the Shanae-verse is where I just like say shit that I feel from my mind. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I'm just talking. But here are some of the names that I got. And so we put, so JB, where were we? And the other category is not an ASM, like not a, like a regular guy. I don't think that any of the, so I would say that I think that JB would probably be the one who's your boyfriend but is not. So there's intermittent ghosting. And I love JB, but I feel like that's what he would do. What do you guys think? Okay. Okay, Tay? I think Tay is going to be the weekend in love. By the way, I still love all of them. I just feel like everybody's going to be like, they're not. Okay, I am from Monsta X. Ooh. I think. Does he leave and ghost you? I don't know. Oh, Drake. Duh. Drake is, of course. So Drake, I feel like at any point of his life can be any of these. Literally any of these. It depends on the person. I feel like he could totally be the person who leaves after and ghosts you. Except, like, when you hook up with Drake, you do not expect to be contacted afterwards. And so the real deception happens when he starts to go into the other categories. Like, okay, I don't think that anybody hooks up with Drake without having to hiss to listen to him cry or talk about his problems. Do you? So I think that he could be any of these. Okay, let's just like do some of these. We have Kai. Kai was a lot. Kai came up a lot. Y'all think Kai is a ASM, an intimacy eater? I guess this goes to, like, again, how a lot of times there's a look. Even before all this stuff happened with Lucas, you could just look at Lucas and be like, like, there's a certain look. Like, how would you describe the ASM look or the intimacy eater look? Like, when you, because I feel like I can look at somebody and be like, ASP alert. And again, you can like go to an ASP and just enjoy them, because ASPs are usually really good at spaghetti times because they're used to using communication as a weapon. So they understand what to do to have their means met. Not Johnny from NCT. Oh. I think that he's going to be either one of these or the other. So I feel like he's either ASM who cuddles or he's your boyfriend. I don't think that he does it. Jackson Wang. Most of ATs. I don't know enough about ATs. Oh, NCT's Jaehyun. I feel like Jaehyun is definitely leaves after. I don't think he does any of that boyfriend shit. Like, I think he's no. He is a sneaky link. Like, you just get text every once in a while. I cannot believe how many answers they were with JB. Okay. All right. So if you want me to, oh my God, Sugar. Okay. If you want to see the rest of these, I'm going to do them with the videos. Bam Bam. Yeah. Bam Bam has a tattoo that says kissing on my tattoos. That's real grim. And the other thing is that, like, again, like, you can be a, like, a lot of them are just fine people. Like, I feel like people who are on Bam Bam's roster, and again, this is like a Shanae-verse comment, I feel like they don't dislike Bam. I think they're just like, Bam is for the streets. and I'm just part of his journey on the streets. But yeah, I'd be curious to hear, like, what are some of your experiences and what do you think about this whole thing? I just have so many. We have JK a bunch, Jimin would break my heart and I would let him. Key, wow. Namjoon, totally. Don't ask me about Namjoon now. Okay. All of them. Yeah, because the ironic thing about being an idol is that I feel like they are, like I said, the most likely to become ASPs and intimacy eaters because they're in this relationship in which they are the receiving ends of a lot of love, but not a lot of intimacy. And so they probably navigate the world feeling like there is something missing and that wanting that a lot of ASPs have, but have no means of getting it because of their own isolation. And so they use like these other means of getting it. Like I said, I don't think that the story is an isolated incident. What I was so shocked by when hearing this story was just how like isolated Lucas seemed. Like I said, he's a top 10 idol easily. He's extremely popular. He has a Chinese base. Like, he has a lot of access. The fact that he would go this route seems very specific and indicative of probably what a lot of the idols are experiencing that we don't know about. And again, like, there, the fact that you cannot love publicly, especially in a place like South Korea that is so obsessed, like literally obsessed with couples, is something that I think is really notable as far as like approaching what is the mindset or the feelings that these idols have. Like, I cannot stress to you how much South Korea is a couples town. It really is. And so having all this and yearning for these connections and having that be ingrained with you and not being able to express them out in the open and having to be secret or not at all, or feeling like you cannot trust people, would create, but at the same time being so desired and having everybody want to know you and serve, it's easy to create somebody to become an ASP, I would say. Not an excuse, of course, but I think that it's a side effect of this industry, and not just this industry, all music industries, all art industries, all industries in which like there's a great deal of people being taken advantage of in some ways. So just another idea around this. I think I've said this a billion times. It's like, what is it like to be loved like that, to that level? And yeah, so those are, and again, we don't really, and like, again, going back to like some final thoughts about like F-boys and the energy around them and like a Drake or something like that, is the, again, we're still grappling with like how we're going to talk about this stuff, like what is abuse, what's not, what's harmless and what's not. And it goes back to this kind of like weird place we are in society where like there's like the Gen Z is very, it's very pure, like very, there's not a lot of nuance with the generation as far as like how things are talked about. And one of the reasons why I feel like, when we go back to this Namjoon thing that happened, people protect people so hard is because they know, because they can't really hold this idea that people can be both, that they can be like have things that are like unsavory about their personalities, but still be people who are worthy of following. So I think that when I was saying, because I got a lot of pushback, so much pushback when I simply said that Namjoon's words really hurt me and they're irresponsible. They're so fucking irresponsible for him to say that to his audience full of girls, and that BTS continues to be irresponsible around the survivors of eating disorders and stuff like that in his community. And there was just sort of like, he didn't mean it that way. He did. And it's like, so what if he did? He's just a product of his culture like anybody else. And I am less, I've said this a bunch of times that like, I am even less sympathetic to this idea that South Korea is somehow less able to grapple with the stuff, because I was there. And it's just not like that. Like, they understand what to say and what not to say. And they know that it's inappropriate to talk about certain things, and it's not. And they just don't care, because there's probably a level of intimacy that he has with the audience that makes him think that it's okay. And he's not really thinking through the differences or the scope. But yeah. So I think that that's why a lot of times we protect people, that they get protected, because again, there's this idea that you're not allowed to have nuance around your personality, because anybody who has anything that's like bad or problematic should be discarded or canceled or anything like that. Like, there's not a lot of space for that, which makes it so that there's not a lot of space for them to be people. And then also what that does is that it creates this, one of the things that was really interesting, again, I keep talking about this fanfic, was just this idea of like not trusting people with all of you. And I think that if you're an idol or something like that, it's really easy not to trust people with all of you. So what are my like overall thoughts about all this? And I guess like my advice for dealing with ASPs, I think my advice for dating ASPs, dealing with ASPs and stuff like that, and I think one of the biggest issues that comes up with ASPs is, first of all, I don't think that, like, a lot of times we say that we didn't know and that there weren't flags, but there always are. And there's been lots of experiences where they're like, oh, I was in this thing with you and da 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 da, and then he just like stopped. But there's always stuff that we're not paying attention to because we like crave intimacy and we crave connection just like anybody else. And I think that the other thing, one of the things to deal with like some of these ASPs is to really like divest, like truly divest. I think that we get so invested because connection's really hard to find. Like, it's really hard to find somebody that you legitimately want to talk to, that you legitimately vibe with, that you want to hang out with. It's like not easy. And so when you meet somebody, you want to hold on to them really tight, and you feel really scarce, a lot of scarcity around connection, because it feels like when you meet somebody who's like a really good ASP, it feels like they're creating spark that you like can't replicate any other way. But really, it's just about manipulation, and you can't have true intimacy without the good parts and the bad parts. And so I think that's it, is like really making sure that you are not investing too far in. I think that listening to your instincts, I think that being honest about what you want and not entering anything that you actually don't want is really helpful. I myself is not, like, I always think this topic itself is very interesting, because I probably would consider myself like a ASM or ASP. Not that I would, but I'm not like, basically what I'm saying, like, I'm ASP and that like I would not get in a relationship because I know that I am not emotionally available enough and I am not fully able to fully invest in another person right now, or invest in multiple people. Like, I don't know. The idea of polyamory literally makes me sick, because I can't, not for me, not for other people. I think it's great for other people, but for me, I can barely commit to one person, let alone multiple people. And so for myself, I pull myself out of the game, or I date casually and be really clear about how I'm dating casually, because I don't want to be like ASPs who are not disclosing what they really want, because honestly, a lot of them don't have words for what they really want. Obviously, I'm somebody who has a lot of words for who I am. Like, that's like, it's like one of my characteristics, is that I just am always like, I fully like understand what I'm doing and understand it. So I know that if I were to get in a relationship with somebody, I would be probably not good at it, because I'm just like not used to, like, I'm not able to give a full emotional investment without trying to take. So it is really interesting how, you know, what you do with information that you have with yourself, because ASP could say, have come to the same conclusion I do, but still want to do whatever they can to get whatever they can out of a relationship. And also, I'd like to note that it doesn't work the other way around. Like, men don't actually like people who are ASPs towards them particularly. Like, they really believe that if you are like with them, you're in love with them and stuff. So it's just like a really interesting dynamic between, based off who you are. So if you're somebody who would label themselves an intimacy eater, I'd love to hear from you as well. Cause like I said, obviously I'm not an intimacy eater who's in the game. So I am not doing this to people. And again, I'm very, very clear about my intentions, and I'm not really doing anything now, but it was really interesting to read about what they do and sort of like see similarities in myself and how I can sort of turn on the lights on and off around my relationships according to my personal needs, because I have like a lot of goals and ambitions and stuff. And so sometimes it's hard for me to like commit to people who are outside of my friendships. So that's some of my own stuff. And I think that's it. That's it for our fuckboy episode. What do you guys think of the structure? I think that for moving forward, the structure is going to be a little bit more like this, where we have a topic and explore it from different angles, different sort of perspectives and other parts of pop culture, just to expand and make the podcast less just BTS focused. So always be BTS in there, but less BTS focused, because yeah, it's gonna drive me insane. It's gonna drive me insane. Okay, that's it for this episode. Again, if you have any comments, please hit me up on speakpipe.com/grownassfandom. Please tell me about your fuckboy rankings. Sorry, your ASM rankings. And if you want to see my video in which I do a tier ranking of all of the pics that I got from Instagram and put them in the sort of like tier ranking, my first video, you can do so by signing up for my Patreon. And you can follow me on Instagram at grownassfandom or TikTok at HeySinead. But above everything, please rate this episode 5 stars and send it to a friend. One of my biggest goals for this month is to expand the reach of the podcast. And so if you haven't introduced the podcast to a friend, this would be a great time to do it. Okay, that's it. I'll see y'all next week. Bye. I don't need something.